Well, I'm going to kind of connect. It's this insight that the Holy Spirit gave me, which is from the Word of God. I'm going to entitle a few of these messages, and I'm just entitling it, No Evidence. That's the name of it, No Evidence. And so this first message I'm entitling, well, the series of messages will be No Evidence, but this first message will be entitled A New Identity. A New Identity. And so we have to go and look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the King James. And before you do, well, you're there, but let me just share, when we talk about evidence, you know, if you're in a court of law, you know, they sometimes based on the evidence of somebody's testimony or some physical evidence, but evidence is really something that's an outward sign. It's an indication of something, right? It's evidence, or you could say it's proof of something, right? So if there's no evidence, there's no proof. If there's no evidence, there's no indication that that ever existed. There's no evidence. Oh, this gets me excited just saying it. No evidence. Say no evidence.
No evidence.
Oh, yes, sir. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's land there. I'm going to read it in the King James. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? No evidence. No evidence of my old man. It's been remitted. No evidence. So stop letting the devil bring up evidence in your life of your past. There is none. You are a brand new person in Christ. Say no evidence. Who? Jesus. Let me read this in the Passion Translation. Let's go there. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. Say no evidence. No evidence of my past. No evidence. I'm a brand new person. Stop running the videotape. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. No evidence. It's vanished. The Living Bible. They won't put that up, but it says when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Brand new. No evidence of the past. That's why Paul, by revelation, could say, by the Holy Ghost, I'm a brand new person in Christ. Paul said that. He's brand new. Boy, he had a past, didn't he? But he said, I'm brand new. No evidence. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, hallelujah, according to the riches of his grace. Glory to God. So the Bible tells us, I know a lot of this is, you know, when we know Scripture, sometimes we go, oh, yeah, I know that. No, receive it like you never heard it. Receive it like no evidence against me. I'm brand new. But 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. How do we walk? We walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't walk by this evidence that comes up in my life. I walk by faith. I walk by what Jesus spoke by the Holy Ghost and the revealed by the Holy Ghost in the Scripture. I don't walk by what I feel. I don't walk by what people say to me. Oh, I knew you went. No, you may have, but I have no evidence against me. No proof. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation in this scripture verse, it says, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Or you could say feel. So we're not to walk by the evidence of things seen. It doesn't mean that you ignore things. But you're not, your faith is not in that. Your faith is in the Word of God. Your faith says, no, no, I'm redeemed. Or it could be some symptom in your body, whatever that is. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Glory to God. Let's look at this in the King James first. I'll read a few other different translations, and then we'll look at the Passion Translation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? The evidence. Of things what? Not seen. So the faith that we have is what? The substance of things hoped for, or what I expect to happen. It's what? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when things come up, it's my faith that's the evidence that confronts this false evidence. My faith in the Word of God. My faith-filled words release God's Word. His power in His Word is activated and released when I speak it. You know, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is everywhere and fills everything everywhere. His power is present everywhere. It's like this light switch over here. We can turn it on and off, but the power, what activates the lights? The switch. But the power is there all the time to be activated. God's power is everywhere. And the thing that activates it is my faith. My faith in him activates that power, and it's released. So what is his word? His word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. So God's word is full of power. And when I speak it, I'm releasing the power of God into my situation. My faith-filled words possess because I'm speaking God's word. So my faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not things seen. This is the Moffat translation, M-O-F-F-A-T. Now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. The Passion Translation of Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. My faith is all the evidence that's needed to prove what is unseen. Oh, let's read it again. It's up on the screen. Read it and meditate on it. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. My faith, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:18. In the King James, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal, but the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. So faith, just from the scripture, I believe it's in Romans chapter 4, it says faith calls those things, Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. So faith calls things that be not as though they were. My faith is all the evidence that's needed to prove what is still unseen. So faith does what? Faith speaks the outcome. Faith must be spoken. Faith must be released through our words. That's why when we sing that song, you know, when I believe, yes, you believe, but if you don't say, you shall not receive. You've got to believe that the things that you're saying shall come to pass. And if I believe what the word of God says, and I'm speaking it from my heart, I shall have it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Just going back through a few scriptures, I'm going to land on something in a few minutes here. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James. That which we believe, we've got to speak. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore do what? Speak. Hallelujah. We've got to speak. So even where James said, James, he talks about in chapter 2 that, you know, if you've got faith, there's got to be some corresponding action. Otherwise, it's just believing. It's just faith, but there has to be an action. So faith must have an action. It must have a corresponding action. Glory to God. I like what the Passion Translation said. It says, so then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. And it just means it's fruitless. It's not going to produce. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at Colossians chapter 2. And I kind of want to land on this here today and expand a little bit. And I want to look at this in the Passion Translation. They'll put it up on the screen. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 9 through 14. And this is what we kind of brought out the last lesson. A few weeks ago. It says in verse 9, for he is the complete fullness of deity, talking about Jesus, living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of Christ the Anointed One, because of what Christ the Anointed One has accomplished for us. If something's extinct, that means it doesn't exist. That means there's no evidence of it, no proof of it. Verse 12, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Now look at verse 14. This is exciting to me. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and our old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. Now listen to this. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. No evidence. No evidence. He forgave you of all your sins. He erased them. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. So I was sharing this a few Wednesdays ago. What's forbidden in heaven? When we look at Matthew 18:18, it says, what things soever you forbid on earth must already, the Amplified says, must already have been forbidden in heaven. Well, what's forbidden in heaven? Sin. Any record of my sin. Sin has been forgiven. There's no record of it. There's no record of it. It can't be found. The blood has remitted it. So So you can't find it because he can't, it's been erased. What else has been forgiven? Not only our sin, but what is Matthew 8:17? It says that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. There's no evidence in heaven of sickness on my record. It's been expunged. It's been erased and eliminated. You can't find it. When something's expunged, it means it's completely destroyed. It's eliminated. You can't find it. So when stuff comes on your body, it's not from God. Because he erased it. He paid for it. It's erased. So you have a right, according to Matthew 18:18, to come and stand right up and say, no, you don't. You're a thief. And you are forbidden on this body. And I command you to be removed and be cast into the sea. And I can speak that with authority because he took it. He paid for it. I don't have to. And in heaven, it's already erased. It's eliminated. No evidence. Say no evidence. No evidence of sin, my sin in heaven. No evidence of any sickness against me. He did what? He completely erased it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to continue. If they can put up verse 14 again of 2 Corinthians, Colossians 2. Because I didn't finish that verse. Because it gets even better. Colossians 2 and the Passion Translation of verse 14. It gets better. I'm going to read it again. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record. Oh boy. You know, if you've ever been incarcerated and they legally remove something against you, hallelujah. There's no record. That means you got nothing dogging you in society now. You're free. And what else? We had on our record in the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Listen to this. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Oh, when that evidence comes up, you go, look right over there, buddy. It's nailed as a public display on his cross. Permanently, permanently forgiven. And it's permanently there on display to remind the devil and remind us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if that gets you excited, but it gets me excited. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So we've been forgiven, we've been healed, and that old record that was against us was nailed permanently to the cross as a public display. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this gives us a right, according to the word of God, to remind the devil, you take your hands off my body. You take your hands off my finances. You take your hands off me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to share one other thing in closing here. We're going to spend a few minutes on this. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 26. And this is, we read this every time we have communion. Sometimes we blow right over this. But you're going to see something here that's along the same lines. I'll read from verse 24, 25, and I'll read 26. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft, you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let me read it again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now let me read this from the Amplified Translation, and then we're going to read it from the Passion Translation. And then I'm going to give you some, a little extra, as they say. The Amplified. It says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact that the Lord, fact of the Lord's death until he comes. So every time we receive the elements, every time we receive that bread which represents his broken body, and every time we receive the cup which represents his shed blood, we are doing what? We are representing, we're signifying, and we're proclaiming the fact that of the Lord's death until he comes. Oh. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes. The devil is defeated, isn't he? He just doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to say it and proclaim it. The Passion Translation of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. It says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. Oh, you're retelling, you're proclaiming something. And that word show in the, or shoe in the King James, it says that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, shoe, the Lord's death till he comes. This word, the Greek word for that is promulgate. Now, you may not ever use that word, but promulgate is an English word. P-R-O-M-U-L-G-A-T-E. It makes, this is what promulgate means. It means to make known to many people by open declaration. It means to proclaim. So every time we receive the bread and the cup, we are proclaiming something. We are announcing something. We are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Now listen to this. This is another thing it says. when you promulgate, or it says here, promulgate also means to put a law or rule into action or force. So when I proclaim and I'm retelling, I'm initiating, I'm reminding the devil that this is settled in heaven. His shed blood and broken body. Listen to this. This promulgate also means, implies the proclaiming of a dogma, a doctrine, or a law. So when we shew the Lord's death, when we take that bread and we take that cup, we are proclaiming what the Lord has done. And we are reminding. That's why you see people that take those elements and their bodies change. Why? Because you're proclaiming something that's enforced. It's already settled in heaven. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. And I'm proclaiming it. And I'm reminding my body and those devils that are maybe present and reminding them, look, I'm proclaiming and retelling this. This is enforced in my body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It means, synonyms are means to publish or announce or proclaim. Hallelujah. Now you can look up that word and throughout the New Testament, it's in a number of different places. Here's one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. This is Paul speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. Because you can see what Paul is writing here. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God." He proclaimed, he announced, he published the testimony of God. He didn't come with excellency of speech and wisdom, but he declared and published. Well, that's what happens when we receive the Word of God and we receive the elements. We are doing what? We are publishing what something is established. Glory to God. It's established. I'm thinking of one scripture that came up. Well, let's just use this in closing. Let's go to Philemon. And get these pages stick here. Philemon, Hebrews. If you can find Hebrews, you go to chapter 1, you're right there. Philemon chapter 1, there's only one chapter, and verse 6. How does my faith become effectual? It's the communication, it's the publishing, it's the announcing of God's word. What does it say? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging, that word acknowledging means profession or confession, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So what am I saying? I'm saying that which is already established in heaven, we have a right to forbid it here in the earth. God gave us his faith to walk by and to overcome the obstacles that we face in life. And those obstacles, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. So we need to walk by faith and not by sight, not by our feelings or what we see, but we're overcoming by faith, and we're declaring it. Hallelujah. So say no evidence. There's no evidence of sin against me. Now, here's the thing. Even if you missed it somewhere and you walked out of love, if you just ask for forgiveness, it says that he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So we have a Savior that took all of our sins. Just think about this. Who his own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree. That we being what? Dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So there's no evidence against you regarding sickness or disease. Don't let the devil remind you or bring up stuff in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you ignore things. If you need to get a checkup, you get checkups. You do things that you need to do. But you stand and proclaim against it and say, no, you have to leave. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Because it's been paid for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say no evidence. I'm a new creature. I'm a new person in Christ. My sins have been paid for. My sicknesses have been paid for. He paid it all. And every time I speak his word, I'm publishing, I'm announcing to my circumstances that you've got to go. And I forbid you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is forever settled in heaven. That we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this word that is stirred in our hearts. And we thank you for raising us up above the circumstances in life through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something from this. Go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen to it again. And feed upon it and meditate upon it, download it. You know, they'll get that up on the website, and all those messages are free. Just download them, put them on your phone, put them on whatever device you want, put it on a USB drive or burn it to a CD, whatever makes you comfortable, or just stream it off the site if you don't want to do that. But listen to it, get it down in your heart, because the victory is in your mouth. Glory to God. Well, if you're here today, we're going to receive our offering in a moment, but if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you're watching online and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you believe that he's the Savior, but you never professed it with your mouth, then this is your opportunity to do so. And if you maybe gotten out of fellowship with God, then same thing applies. Just ask him for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you, and you'll be restored to fellowship with him. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. I believe with my heart that he's the Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I believe that you were raised from the dead after sin was paid for, and we were buried with you, and when sin was paid, we were raised with you, and raised and seated with you in heavenly places. And so now, Jesus, I've asked you to come into my heart. Cleanse me with your blood. Make something new of me. And I believe with my heart and say with my mouth that I am saved. Now, if you said that for the first time and you don't ever remember doing that, let us know. If you're here today, let us know. We'll give you some free information. If you're watching online, just they put some information up that you can reach out to us and let us know that you've become a brand new person in Christ. You accepted Jesus, and we'll send you some information as to who you have become in him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands in here. And so we thank God for his salvation. Hallelujah.